If you were to look at the most familiar passages in Scripture, one of them would be the 23rd Psalm. I think we're so familiar with that Psalm. The other would be, perhaps, what we are going to share this morning, John 3:16. And that's in the middle of our text here this morning. So thank you, Bob, for those words. Hear these words from the Gospel of John. Here's Jesus talking with Nicodemus. And Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you thought that that gentleman I mentioned at the beginning of our time together setting up over 300,000 dominoes was impressive, let's just remember that was just the Guinness Book of World Records for one person. There was a team of people who established a different kind of record with dominoes. They worked over several weeks to set up, get this, 4,491,863 dominoes. Can you imagine? Almost 4.5 million dominoes set up. And then one person went blink and set the rest of them falling. Took several minutes for them all to fall. Can you imagine? What is that? It's fun, number one, but it's also a chain reaction. That's a great way to visualize a chain reaction, kind of like with our children's message today. You push one thing over, you do one thing, and it causes a chain reaction. It causes a cascading series of events to happen. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. So if you think of a chain reaction car accident, that's not so good. We've been involved in one of those. Somebody hits you from behind and it forces you into the car in front of you, a chain reaction. There are other chain reactions in nature that we see. One of them you may be familiar with. It's linked with something called the chaos theory or the butterfly effect. And it looks something like this. We've talked about this, I think, in Bible study before. So I'm paraphrasing here. And generally speaking, this is what the butterfly effect or the chaos theory is. So a little butterfly flaps its wings. A squirrel near the butterfly is startled. And so the squirrel runs. A fox sees the squirrel running and runs after the squirrel, thinking, there's my meal. They run toward a flock of chickens, and the chickens think that the fox is after them, and so they run into an adjacent farmer's field, and they encounter a cow. A cow notices there's chickens, and he begins to walk rather swiftly. He doesn't know what's going on, and he eventually starts running into fellow cows, and eventually the whole herd is running, and it's kicking up dust. It's a dry day, and it's a hot day, and so the dust ascends because the currents of radiation is going on, warming is going on, so the dust ascends from the running cows and eventually gets caught up in the prevailing wind and is directed several miles, sometimes hundreds of miles east, where it encounters a forming storm, and the dust creates condensation nuclei, which helps to strengthen the storm. And then there's an interaction with the jet stream, and there starts to be some rotation. And if conditions are just right, tornadoes start to form, and devastation happens. How did that all begin? With a butterfly. That's the chaos theory, the butterfly effect. Something stirred a cascade of events, and something really powerful happens on the other end of that. The butterfly effect. You ever see that in your own life? Do you experience that in your own life? Do you ever see it happening in Scripture? It doesn't seem obvious, but yes, it does happen in Scripture. And here are two excellent examples for us this morning of chain reaction events in Scripture. So here's Psalm 107. We think this was written by David. We're not positive, but it seems like there's evidence that would support that David is the author. This is a song. Most of the psalms that we have were songs. And we think to ourselves, how did they remember all these words? It's because they sang them. How do you guys remember words? You sing them. You remember the lyrics of a song. If you just tried to remember the lyrics themselves without the melody, you wouldn't do it. Well, these were songs that they would sing in the temple. And so these words would become ingrained in their lives. Psalm 107 is thought to be written by David to a group of people who have experienced deliverance from their difficulty, whatever that might represent in their own lives. And David has a domino. And David, at the beginning of this psalm, pushes the domino over. He says to specific people, this is what you need to do. What does David say? He says, give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. What was going on with these people? Well, we know the history of Israel. Sometimes they're really, really faithful, and sometimes they're really, really not faithful. We see this pendulum swinging in the nation of Israel all through the Old Testament. Good, bad. Good, bad. Kind of like us, right? We're good and we're bad. The nation of Israel has gone through this. And so there's a period of time when the Israelites had not been faithful to God, but now they have been redeemed. So David tells the people, in response to experience redemption, you should say thanks. There's the first verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. But then he says very specifically that there are people that should be doing this. Who should be saying thanks? The second verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for he has redeemed them from trouble. Okay? So domino number one is say thanks. Domino number two is those of you who have experienced redemption should do this. But then at the end of the psalm, we find the butterfly effect. We find a chain reaction. So we say thanks. We understand we've been redeemed, but that's not where it should stop. There should be a chain reaction. Your thanksgiving should transfer into thanksgiving. And so the last two verses, see what happens here. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Verse 22, and let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices. In other words, let them do something. It shouldn't be just this. It should be this. So there's the chain reaction. Your thanksgiving should become thanksgiving. Your speaking should become doing. And this should be a natural response for us as well. This is human nature. If Judy gives me a gift, it's not my birthday, it's not Christmas, she just gives it to me on any ordinary day, my natural response would be, number one, to say thanks, but number two would be, I want to live my life in a way that pleases the author of the gift. So my thanksgiving should become thanksgiving. The way I conduct myself should be a way of living that pleases the author of the gift. That makes sense? So when we think about that in our faith journey, we think about our faith and the one who has given it to us, we would want to live our lives in a way that pleases the author from whom all blessings flow. So there's the chain reaction. So that's what's happening here in the psalm. What about this encounter that Jesus has with Nicodemus? So Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Pharisees often get a bum rap. I'm sure there were great Pharisees, but Jesus often butts heads with Pharisees that seem more intent on worshiping the law instead of the one who provided the law. It's almost as if the law has become an idol for the Pharisees. So Pharisees are important people. They're highly educated. Remember, in many communities, most of the population is illiterate. So it's up to the Pharisees to read the law, the scriptures, to teach the law, to interpret the law, and to enforce the law. There are some Pharisees that are much better at enforcing the law than teaching the law. And this is who Jesus often has conflict with. And so Nicodemus is a Pharisee. At the beginning of this chapter, we don't have it here this morning, but at the beginning, just to provide some context, Nicodemus hears about this Jesus. He comes to Jesus at night, maybe because he doesn't want the other Pharisees to see him going to Jesus. It's included in the scripture. Interesting. And Nicodemus essentially says, paraphrasing, you've done some really cool things, and it seems like you must be from God because you're doing miraculous things. And then Jesus responds with, unless someone is born again, they will not see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus responds like I would have back then. What do you mean born again? How can a man enter his mother's womb and be born a second time? And so there's that conversation that happens, and Jesus clarifies, this isn't a physical thing, this is a spiritual thing. And that leads to today's passage, where Jesus says something else, which may cause us to scratch our heads. He says right at the beginning of this passage, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So remember this story? It's in Numbers. It's in the Old Testament book, Numbers. So the Israelites are wandering through the wilderness. They have been unfaithful. They've, in a sense, cursed themselves. And Moses receives instruction from God to lift a serpent up on a stick. And anybody who looks at the serpent will be healed, will be saved, in a sense. Seems weird to us, but this is what happened at the time. A serpent at that time was a symbol of evil, but a serpent, ironically enough, was also a symbol of healing, a symbol of life. And so Moses instructs the people, look up at the serpent and you will be healed, that you will be saved. And so Jesus uses that imagery in his conversation with Nicodemus. And he says, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So he's referencing Good Friday, right? When Jesus is lifted on the cross. And when we believe on Jesus, that atonement, that we too find our healing and our salvation. But the conversation continues. Jesus says that really famous verse in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. That verse is where we find the chain reaction. But you have to dig for it a little bit. So when we look at the original language, it's so important to always look at context and original language. When Jesus says anyone who believes in him, that's understandable, right? But when you look at the original language, it's really more akin to anyone who believes into him. See the difference? So let me read it the first way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish. Now listen to it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes into him may not perish. There's two things going on here. There's believing in, and there's believing into. Here's the difference between the two. And I'll use some examples. If I believe in the democratic form of government that we live in, I assent and I recognize intellectually that, yes, this is the way our government lives, and this is the way that we should live together. If I believe into the democratic form of government, then I get involved in it. That I vote, and I research candidates, and I look at legislation. You see the difference? Believing in means that you recognize something as legitimate, as authoritative. To believe into means that you participate in it. So when we look at this language from Jesus and we say we believe in Jesus, yes, we understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus is calling us to do more than that. He's asking us to believe into him. If I believe that a child should be raised in a loving home, that's an intellectual agreement. To bleed into a child being raised in a living home means I provide a living home for our children. If I believe in exercise, yeah, exercise is good, but that's where it's going to stop. If I believe into exercise, then I exercise. So Jesus, there's the chain reaction. Believe in results in believing into. Remember when Jesus asks us to pick up the cross of Christ? That Jesus' priorities become our priorities? That's believing into. That's not just believing in. That's just not assenting a reality. That means you are believing into Jesus. You see the difference? That's a revelation to me. And it makes that verse so much deeper and so much more meaningful. It's not just an intellectual exercise. It's not just a faith exercise. It's a commitment that I believe into Jesus. Therefore, Jesus's priorities become my priorities. Do you see the chain reaction there? In, into, head, action. Head is the in, into is the action. So what does this look like then? So if I am a domino, if I have dominoes in my life, and the first domino is believe in, and that tips, and in my life, now I have cascading dominoes, what happens on the other end of that in my life? Notice how the balloon went up at the end of the dominoes during the children's message? What does that balloon look like in my life if I believe into Jesus, if Jesus's priorities become my priorities? Well, Jesus described it as fruit. That's what the dominoes look like. By their fruit, you will know them. By their fruit, you can decide if they're believing in or believing into. If there's no fruit, then there's just the in part. If there's an into, then there's fruit being produced in this life. And what does that fruit look like? Paul describes it in Galatians, and he describes it this way. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Here's the hard one, forbearance. That's hard for us, but it's a fruit. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what happens when you believe into. You produce fruit. And that's the balloon of ministry that rises. That's the fruit that we produce in our lives. It's a chain reaction. So for us, when we are invited to be in relationship with Christ, and when we believe in Jesus, we are also invited to believe into Jesus, that Jesus' cause becomes my cause. We tend to make that so big. It's so huge. It's too hard. I'm not smart enough. I don't know the Bible enough. I don't go to church enough. But how did the chaos theory play out? How were the tornadoes formed? Little butterfly flapping. Our seemingly simple, some might define small acts of ministry have a huge impact on the other side. So I want to lift a couple of examples this morning. We're going to talk about it a little bit more during the offering. But the purpose of the church is to be the hands and feet of Christ. The purpose of the church is to minister to each other and our community. And the other purpose of the church is to provide people with resources during that ministry. There are wonderful ministries happening in the life of this church that we should never take for granted. Some of the ministries happen, well, most of the ministries happen at times other than Sunday morning. And we have new people coming into the church, and you may not be aware of some of these ministries. My Friend's Place is an example of one of those ministries where this church serves as a safe place for those who are dealing with dementia, to be ministered to have a safe place to come. Their family members are given Sabbath time so that their loved ones will be cared for. It's one example. There are several others. One of them I want to really acknowledge today, though, is our community meal ministry. And Kathy Merrill is on the cutting edge of that, on the leading edge of that ministry. Unfortunately, she's not feeling well this morning. But there are literally hundreds of people who benefit from that ministry on Thursday nights. And it doesn't start Thursday night. It starts Tuesday morning when the food is delivered from Good Shepherd. People from our church go to pick it up. They bring it here. Kathy and her team starts to assemble it. And then all day Thursday is involved preparing those hot meals. And hundreds of them go out to people who are dealing with food insecurity. That's an example of believing into Jesus' ministry. If you are involved, I know our numbers are smaller today because of the weather, but if you are in any way involved with the community meal, whether it's on Tuesday or at any other time of the week or on Thursdays, would you just stand for just a moment so we can recognize you? I would like Tom and Sharon to come forward because we have some acknowledgement. So we have just a thank you card for folks and a small gift from the church. This may seem like a butterfly, but we're hoping it's part of the chaos theory that people receive these gifts will know that they are appreciated. And we acknowledge them believing into Jesus, that this is part of their ministry and therefore part of the ministries of this church. So Kathy, who is probably watching at home, who's not feeling well, thank you, Kathy. Thank you to all of you who are involved in this ministry. And we will trust that about 35 people who are involved in this ministry will receive this little butterfly flapping gift from us. And Tom and Sharon, that you would pass them along. Thank you again for your ministry. And I'd like to close with this, and I'm doing this sort of on the spot. For those of you that are watching at home, listen to the words that we are about to read. If you would grab a hymnal and turn to page 885. I want to close with this because this is such a wonderful illustration of a chain reaction. It's called our modern affirmation. And I love these words because all through these words, you will notice a chain reaction going on. That something results from something before. And then at the end, there's a wonderful summary of who we are as Jesus followers and what that looks like in our church as a chain reaction. So I will begin. This is page 885. I will begin, then we will read together. Look for the chain reaction in these words. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's our first domino, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the run to church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare together. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Don't you love those last few words? We believe that this faith should do what? It should manifest itself. The faith is intellectual, but it should become visible. It becomes a believing into. It's part of a chain reaction. Our faith causes a chain reaction. We believe that this faith should manifest itself, how? In the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end. Why? That the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. There's the fruit. There's the dominoes that are falling. It starts with our faith, and it starts with our believing into Jesus and believing in Jesus. May it be so for us as we continue this wonderful journey through Lent. Let's stand and sing together. Thank you. seated. Lent is a time where we embrace the spiritual disciplines, and a difficult discipline for me is silence. I'm always on the go, and I want to do this, and perhaps you are the same way. I think it's good that we come here to the sanctuary this morning, and we spend some time in silence, listening to the wind blow, remembering the Holy Spirit is around us and swirling with us. So let's spend some time in silent prayer, and we will share the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray.